On a Tuesday afternoon, time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us as always. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Just as you're about to call, my father-in-law called about me, you know, having his pressure washer. I'm like, not now. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you for it.
I'll get that for you.
Yeah.
Oh, Madonna, Madonna.
How are you doing? I guess it's your last day of being just 41.
Yeah. as I wrote in my newsletter, like, I'm not really, like, I use it as an excuse to, like, you know, get myself a lobster roll. Age is like, I've felt like I was a crotchety old man for at least half my life now already.
That's why we get along so well.
I've lived pretty true to it. Yeah. So, but good. You know, I'll tell you, actually, I'm in a good mood because we've at the store, we have sort of taken our first steps back into the more normal place and started letting people back in the door. It was really nice. For those wondering, it's by appointment. But basically, as long as we, you know, think you're not going to come in and raise a ruckus about us asking you to wear a mask, and we'll do the same, and you're more than welcome to come in. You know, if we have to limit, we don't have the sort of shop that needs to really limit numbers all that much, at least at this time of year. So we're not sweating limiting numbers as much as just making sure that everybody wants to come in, plays nice. But that's been really nice because, frankly, it means that we've gotten to welcome back because our customers are awesome and they all play nice, right?
Right.
They all do the right thing. And so, you know, yesterday was our first full day of doing that. And, boy, that's been great. It's got to be some form of a sickness, liking retail. It really is. It's got to be. This is something very wrong with you. Much like I feel teaching drama must be. Like,
oh, yes,
like
yes.
For every reward, there's some punishment. But, no, it's you know, it's really cool. It's really cool to just have people. It just feels, you know, good again. So yeah, for that reason, rather than being, you know, 41 or 42 or whatever the hell I am, I forget how old I am. I don't know if this ever has happened to you guys. I literally do forget how old I am at times. It sort of ceases to matter unless you're on one of those, like, round numbers.
Right. Oh, yeah, there are times I have to go, oh, yeah, right, that's where I am. Okay, sure. Usually I only remember when I, you know, pull a muscle or something, then I remember exactly.
Yeah, that's true. I have the old man sounds and the, you know, I pull my back far too often and stuff like that. But I like to think of it this way. If I had never gotten in shape when I was younger, and I was in very good shape when I was younger, I probably would have had those grunts and groans back then too. Just that now that I've allowed myself to slip completely from any form of physical conditioning, that I'm, you know, so I think it can happen to anyone at any time. It's just that, you know, 20 years of getting into shape versus now 22 years of letting myself fall completely off that wagon has resulted in, you know, the predictable, which is fine. But other than that, I mean, obviously, you know, people are in sort of a crazy mood all around us, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes. But that's kind of become expected these days.
I guess so. Well, listen, if you'll all indulge me, I run the risk in doing this of being one of the many, many, many ignorant white voices in all this. But I would be talking about the Loire in Bordeaux today, but I wanted to bring people's attention more to some articles rather than me specifically holding forth on the topic. But I started to think, you know, what could I talk about today that's relevant? I wanted to talk about the racism and wine, if I could, if you guys will allow me.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. Please.
It's a topic that has occurred to me before, and we'll kind of get to why. But I wanted to mention there are two articles. I'll drop their names at the top of this, and then we'll sort of get into it. Forbes had an article, and it's called "Does the Wine Industry Have a Racism Problem?" This was published just a day ago, I believe, or 2 days ago, by Mike DeSimone and Jeff Jensen, so that I give my proper credit. And then also written by a New York Times columnist, it's called "Being Black in the Wine World." In the White World of Wine, and that's by Dorothy J. Gaeter. And we've addressed blackness and wine on this show a couple of times. Obviously, when we've talked about wine from South Africa, the system of apartheid was a systematic oppression, but in the wine world there was the KWV, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it's basically the state-run cooperative, which was just as complicit as anything else. There was absolutely no black people of any prominence in their wine industry, despite the fact that their wine industry was growing and growing rapidly. The same held true for women as well in that particular case. But what I found fascinating, and this is from the Forbes article, is things that I've seen in the industry and things that I've frankly been guilty of, because frankly we all grew up at a different time when certain things were more acceptable, and we've grown. I'd like to think I've grown since then. But one was prejudging customers. The practice, and these are retailers and sommeliers both were interviewed for taste preferences and price range.
Hmm.
Just assuming that one group of people was going to be wanting, they cited specifically, several people cited, black people like sweet wines. And I was like, wow, man, that's fascinating. That people and freaking ridiculous, because these are being written by black people who are, and they're like, this is, you know, why? And price range. I mean, it's they assume that, you know, they can't afford expensive wines. It's like, and I don't even think of this, but these are from interviews with all these people. I'm like, wow. People assume, this is one particular wine professional in New York City, people assuming that she was on the staff of whatever venue was holding the event, not the professional there to taste the wines. And indeed, when informed that she was there to taste the wines, not assuming that she was the owner of her company there, not at the allowance of someone else, but indeed because she had every damn right to be there as a person. And I was like, wow, you know. And the other one, and this I found interesting because I've heard, this is actually back when I was in the opera world, people advising people of color to aim for this, was that black-owned businesses in the wine business, in the wine world, are solely there for black people. And it's like, why? And this one person who is a woman in Chicago, she's like, I assume that white people open businesses to cater to everybody. Why do you think that I'm just trying to cater to black people? And it's, whereas some people think it's great advice, oh, there's a niche market. Other people are like, yeah, but how about everybody?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're trying to do, cater to as many people as possible. Why wouldn't I be doing that? So, anyway, so these are just some fascinating things. How much time do I have? I don't want to run over.
We have about 2.5-3 minutes.
Okay. Well, anyway, just some other things, and then I'll talk really quickly. Just some things to keep in mind. There's one winery in Napa that is owned by black people. One. And this is where this touches, and this is why I always thought about this. This is true in every place that I've been, not just in this country. Vineyard work is nearly always done by an ethnic minority, and that doesn't necessarily mean black people. When I was in France, it was Eastern Europeans, but it's always an oppressed minority of people that they bring in cheap and that people think can be dealt with like substandard. And that, I think, is part of the thing that's really ingraining a lot of this racism still to this day, is that people think others can earn less. So anyway, food for thought. Check out those articles. They're really good. On a happier note, tomorrow's my birthday, as Rich mentioned, and we are, Bangor Wine and Cheese is hosting a virtual tasting with good friends of mine, one of whom took me to Spain and educated me greatly. His name is Chris Campbell. He's actually been a guest on this show with me. The other guy is Mike Guinard. They both work for Village Imports. And if you want to get into that tasting, it's happening at 5 p.m. tomorrow. And you have to either buy any one of the four wines we're tasting or the four-pack, which is $60. They are all available either online at bangorwineandcheese.com at our online store, or obviously you can just call the store and order them. And we will get your email and send you the invite to that tasting. I am very excited. The wines are great. The guys are great. We did a test run today. And if you like guys yapping about philosophy and wine, you'll be in the right place.
It's my wheelhouse, baby. I love it.
Yeah, they're all pretty great. So please join me for my birthday Spanish wine tasting tomorrow. Just call the store to figure out how to get in on that. Just cost you a couple bucks, and you'll enjoy yourself. And next week we'll hopefully have more news on a return to normalcy. But if you want to come into the store, please call. We'll make an appointment for you to come on in. Otherwise, we're still offering curbside, of course, and we'll continue to. For anybody who doesn't feel like it or feel safe, we totally understand. We have masks at the store as well as sanitizer and gloves. So,
awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it, Eric. All right. Have a great birthday tomorrow.
Thank you, gentlemen. Be well. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, with this week's message in the bottle.